We turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk to you tonight on the fasting edge. The fasting edge. We have practiced a 21-day fast at Westmoreland for a number of years now. And every year that we do this, my mind goes to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus wants the first place in our life. We worship on the first day of the week. We're to honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruit of all our increase. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And Jesus said, if your friend or brother or sister has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar. Put it in an offering plate before you leave. And then go and be reconciled to your brother. Amen. He said, clean up the inside of the platter first. And if you get the inside cleaned up, guess what? Everything else will fall into line. But there are three things in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus gave us specific direction to do as a child of God. And those three things are giving, praying, and fasting. And they are three things that Jesus expects his church to do. He didn't say if you fast, if you pray, or if you give. He said when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So this is a spiritual principle that is laid down by Jesus in the Word of God. And this is part of his Sermon on the Mount. And so if you want mountaintop experiences, and if you want mountaintop victories, then I encourage you to get into these three disciplines and make them a part of your life. Jesus made it very clear that fasting, just like giving and just like praying, they are a normal part of the Christian life. Fasting is a choice. And whenever a Christian chooses to begin a spiritual fast for one day or several days, that person has chosen to draw close to God. Yes. Fasting will do things for you that when you pray that nothing else will do. I'm a praiser. I like prayer and praise. But I'll tell you, when you put prayer and praise and fasting together, you've got a winning combination. But when you choose to do a fast, you are choosing to draw closer to God. Yes. I made that choice over 34 years ago, and I cannot begin to tell you the power and the anointing and the blessings that it has brought into my life, and the power and the anointing that I've been able to carry to other people and get great victories for them. Amen. I'm convinced that fasting is the gateway through which God releases the supernatural, miracle-working power of God. And it's interesting that before Jesus made that statement, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, he tied it to giving, to praying, and to fasting. Go back and read Matthew chapter 1, and you'll see that it starts when you give. But then he gets to verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, there are some blessings that come by giving. There are some blessings that come by praying. And there are some blessings that only come by prayer and fasting. When Jesus came off of the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a little boy there. His disciples could not heal that boy, and they were so embarrassed that after Jesus said, bring him to me, and Jesus healed him. And they were so embarrassed that they came into the house and they said, Lord, why could we not heal him? Jesus said, there are some things that only come by prayer and by fasting. Amen. And if we're going to give Jesus first place, the place he deserves in our life, we must pray, we must give, and we must fast. And I'm convinced that fasting puts that edge on your sword that nothing else will. And so tonight I want to talk to you about the fasting edge. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've laid down principles in your Word. And, Lord, you said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And, Lord, when we deny the natural man, and we begin to feed the spirit man, prayer and the Word of God, and we begin to seek you, Lord, you have promised, I will draw nigh to you. So, Lord, we pray that this message will touch the hearts of your people. That people, God, they never fast. There are others, they never give. And there are some, they very rarely pray. So, Lord, let these three disciplines become a part of the body of Christ worldwide so we can win the victories that we need in life. And everyone said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to look at a parable in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, if you can understand this parable, then you can understand all of the parables. Now, some people, they don't get things because Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But Jesus said, if you can understand this one parable, and I'm going to read it to you, then you can understand all of the parables. He's talking about the sower that sows the Word of God. I'm a sower. Amen. While I'm sowing, there's a real devil, and he's trying to keep the Word of God from getting to you. He does not want it to get down into your spirit. He does not want you to follow the Word of God. He does not want you to know and understand the principles that move the hand of God. And so while I'm preaching, there are all kind of things going on. There are conversations going on. There are people texting. There are people that their minds are 1,000 miles away, and they're doing all kind of things because I'm a preacher, and I'm sent to preach, and I'm anointed to preach. And when I preach, I want to tell you something. There's an edge on my preaching because I pray, and I fast, and I seek God. And you can tell whether or not a man has been alone with God. There's some people that got good materials, but they don't have any edge. Amen. So I want you to have an edge. I want you to understand how to win the battles of life, because that's my job. That's my responsibility to teach. It is your responsibility to receive it. Amen. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. I'm a sower. And these are they that are by the wayside, wherein the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown into their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word of God immediately receiveth it with gladness, and have no root in them. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't seek God. They don't have any root. And so endure it but for a while. Afterwards, affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately, they are offended. They are offended. Amen. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Jesus said, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Amen. I believe that all three of those disciplines, giving, praying, and fasting, when they are working together, you create an atmosphere for the complete power of God's word to be released in your life. It's just like the lesson that Jesus taught about the sower. The principle is the same. It's all based on the Word of God, which means giving releases a 30-fold return, praying and giving releases a 60-fold return, and praying and giving and fasting releases a 100-fold return. So if you want to experience everything that God has purposed for you in life, then give and pray and fast. And Jesus said, if you will do this and seek first the kingdom of God, that everything that you will ever need in life, it will be added unto you. Do you want a 30-fold return? Do you want a 60-fold return? Or do you want a 100-fold return on everything you do in life? If you want a 100-fold return, this message, it is for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The choice is yours. And I need to add this. I called Brother Philip years ago one day, and I was driving down the road, and I was praying and meditating, and I called him, and I asked him, I said, I want you to look up that 100-fold return in the Bible. And I told him, I said, I feel like in my spirit that it is more than just 100 times. And he looked it up in his strong concordance and other references he had there. And he asked me, he said, are you sitting down? Well, I was sitting down. I was driving down the road. He said, Pastor, you ready for this? It means infinitely more than you can measure. It is immeasurable and it is unlimited. That's powerful. Amen. That when you get the 100-fold return, you can't even begin to measure what is coming into your life. I like a 100-fold return on my youth right now. Hallelujah. I take a 100-fold return on my health. I take a 100-fold return on joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's what we're supposed to have. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And if you're going to walk in this dimension, then you'll have to seek God and you'll have to obey God and you'll have to find the principles of God that move the hand of God. Amen. Because when you practice these three principles, giving, praying, and fasting, you set yourself up, catch this, for unlimited blessings. Hallelujah. I want mine good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God says, I'll cause men to give to you. Hallelujah. Never got a check signed by God. But I was so thrilled that during this Christmas holiday that people that I've known, and they didn't write them to me. Oh, no, they sent them to this church. And it just thrilled me. And I was so glad to go to the mailbox. And I would tell Teresa, I said, wonder who sent one this time. Hallelujah. And God does that. God does that when he finds a church that will give. And God does that when he finds an individual that will give. There's a gift in Romans chapter 12. Most people think all the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, they're the supernatural surprises of the Holy Ghost. There's a five-fold ministry gift in Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and preachers. And then in Romans chapter 12, there's administration and government. And there's another teacher there. And then there's a gift called helps. And then there's a gift called giving. And I saw that one day, and I knew from some people their lifestyle. I said, God, they got that gift on their life. I would like the gift of giving. And I said, God, I promise you something. If you'll get it to me, I'll let you get it through me. And that's what you got to be willing to do, is release what is in your hand. Hey, Moses, what's in your hand? It's a rod. Lift it up and pass the sea. Hey, David, what you got in your hand? I got a little slingshot, a rock and a rag, and I'm going to drop that giant with it. Hallelujah. I'm going to use what I got. What have you got? You've heard me say it over and over again. Start where you are. Use what you have. Make something of it and never be satisfied. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you infinitely more than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. But he's looking on the heart. And when he finds a heart that will serve him, a heart, the Bible says God has perfected forever those that are sanctified. Now, I know I'm not perfect, but the blood has perfected me. The blood has perfected you. He sanctifies and perfects us by the blood. He sets us apart to do his work. And we live in a world where there's a an enemy. He's called the devil, and there are demon spirits and there are people that are used of the devil, and they'll come against you. You better believe they will. Hallelujah. But stay suited up.
Amen.
And stay full of God. And you'll be able to win every battle in life. God will give you the wisdom and the knowledge to do it. When I was first saved, no one taught me to fast. No one told me to fast. I just knew from reading my Bible that there are some mountains that can only be moved by prayer and fasting. Jesus said there are some battles that you can only win by prayer and fasting. So I started a lifestyle of prayer and fasting. I did juice for a day. I said, well, if I can do it for one day, I believe I can do it for 2 days. Now, Sister Darnell and Brother Ricky, they ought to be able to tell you about anything and everything you want to know about the juice fast. I know they've got a carrot juice, or they had one year. And I went into that one time, and I tell you what, it's good. It's good for you. It's healthy. It'll help you. Amen. Help me peel off some of these pounds that I want to peel off. Amen. And that's one reason I fast. It has health benefits. But my major objective is to draw close to God. And so I fasted on juice. And then I found out, well, I could do it 3 days. I said, if I can do 3 days on juice, I believe I can do 1 day on water. I did a day, I did two, I did three. And then one day I discovered a book, Atomic Power with God. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going on a 10-day fast. And I went 10 days. And the first revival I preached after that, praise God, the power of God fell. I took off. I laid hands on two people over there in that part of the church, and they hit the ground like a sack of potatoes. I took off running across the front, got to the other side, and when I turned around, people were slain everywhere. I said, my Lord and my God. I fasted 14 days and 21 days on water, but I found out that the 10-day fast is such a powerful fast on water. And I said, God, why is that? 10 days, they went up a room. It's the Pentecostal fast. Hallelujah. Talk to God. God will talk to you. God will show you how to win some great battles in life. But fasting should and prayer should be a lifestyle. And I noticed that as I gave myself to seasons of seeking God, that his anointing became stronger and stronger in my life. I noticed that my prayers had an edge on them. They had a winning edge. And I noticed that as I fasted and prayed, that everything I did it with much more ease and much more efficiency. Amen. Fasting does something for you that makes you much more effective in every area of your life. And I began to seek God, and I began to study, and I began to memorize his word. And God began to open up to me how to win every battle of life. There were some strongholds in my life. There were some things that the enemy held over me that needed to be broken. And I knew where my problems were. Amen. And I kept trying, you know, to win those battles, and God kept leading me and talking to me and showing me. And the enemy kept trying to pull me back. He kept trying to get me to compromise God's word and God's standard. But I had made up my mind, hallelujah. I was free, and I knew that the only way to stay free was to seek God with all of my heart, with all of my energy. Now, you know my background. I'm a military man. And God used my military training to teach me how to fight and how to defeat the devil. And so I share that with people over and over. I've got invitation to come and preach places I won't get to. Some of them want me to come and preach on fasting. Some want me to come and preach on giving. Some want me to come and preach on praying. Amen. People notice things that are in your life. You shall know the tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. So God showed me the weapons of my warfare, and he taught me how to be suited up and prayed up at all times and clothed in the whole armor of God. And I learned that fasting and giving and praying and memorizing God's word and study of the word and reading of the word, that they go hand in hand. And God reminded me of the Western Wall that we had at our compound there in Vietnam. how we had fortified that area. That was a berm wall of 360 degrees all around that compound. Many of you have heard me tell this. In that area, it was cleared for thousands of yards. Most of the compound, you could see out thousands of yards. That was one area that 200 yards out, there was a tree line. And you were restricted. That tree line was the area where the enemy could hit us from, that we were most vulnerable, it looked like, in the natural. But unknown to the enemy, that was not our weakest area. That was our strongest area. We had fortified it with extra machine gun bunkers, barbed wire, claymore mines, and flares. We had 105s and 155 houses, and we had tanks backed up in that area there. That wasn't our weakest point. That was our strongest point. It was the most fortified area on that entire compound. And so when we got hit from there, we were ready. Hallelujah. That was an area of strength and not of weakness as it appeared to be. So God spoke to me. He said, I want you to take my word and I want you to fortify every area of your life. And where you have been weak in the past, I will make those areas the strongest areas in your life. And God said, if you will do that, I will use you to destroy the strongholds in other people's lives. See, sometimes you're just fighting, as I said this morning, for your own victory. But there are generational curses. There are some things that you're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for others. You're fighting for others in your family. You're fighting for others because there are bends that follow families. And when I got saved, I began to notice there were certain bends in my family. And I said, I'll stand my ground and I'll break those things off of the family. They're called generational curses. Amen. But see, when I got saved, I didn't feel like I was under any generational curse, but I found myself wrestling in areas. And they were areas where the enemy had strongholds, and I had to come out of that thing. And I just kept seeking God. And I can look in the family trees, and I can look at what's going on in families, and I can tell you, there's some generational things that at some of you need to deal with them. And people get offended when I say that, but that doesn't bother me. I'm here to help them. Hallelujah. If you're going to be a pastor, you've got to have the mind of a scholar. You've got to have the heart of a child, and you've got to have the hide of a rhinoceros. Hallelujah. In other words, you've got to be tough if you're going to be a pastor. And God will use you. But God first breaks the yoke as we fortify areas of our life where we have been weak. Then God destroys that yoke, and God gives you a yoke-destroying anointing. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some people never get it. Because they don't seek God through prayer and through fasting. Amen. The yoke-destroying anointing only comes by prayer and fasting. You can't get it any other way. And I'm convinced more than ever before that fasting is the gateway into which God releases his supernatural miracle-working power. Amen. And guess what? Church, the choice, it is ours. We can either open the gateway and walk through it, or we can open it and we can continue to do the routine. I don't want to do the routine. I want the supernatural miracle working power of God that destroys the yoke and sets the captive free. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice, you want the yoke destroying power. There are some people that are never going to seek God. Their mind is somewhere else. They think, well, if I can just have a house and if I can have a home, and if I can have monies and if I can have food and clothing, then I'm happy. Not me. Praise God. There's so much more to God. God wants to send revival to the church. I hope that our leadership, that God calls them in the middle of the night and starts calling them to seasons of prayer and fasting. See, we do it. Yeah, we do it because we know we're supposed to do it at the first of the year. But I teach this so you get it into your spirit, and then not when I call a fast, When the Holy Ghost calls you, you'll say, hey, I already understand one principle. I can win this battle through prayer and through fasting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what I want to get, is get something into your spirit. The choice is yours. Some people ask, what does fasting do? The answer is very simple. It draws you closer to God. Fasting is a short season that releases long-term blessings into your life. We're going to fast for 21 days. It's just a short season. One man said, why do they call it a fast when it goes so slow? But it's a short season that releases long-term blessings into our life. It's like taking the time to sharpen your axe before you cut down a tree. Many of you have heard the story about the lumberjack who challenged the older lumberjack to a contest. And the young man wanted to prove himself that he could cut down more trees in a day than the older seasoned lumberjack could do. The contest, it began one morning, and the younger man, he began cutting trees one and then another. As the day progressed, he was certain that he was winning the contest because the old man kept stopping and taking breaks. But the younger man, he just kept swinging his axe, dropping one tree after another. At the end of the day, the young man, he was certain that he had won. He stood confidently waiting for the official count. But to his shock and his dismay, the old lumberjack had cut at least one-third more trees than he had cut. The young man conceded the victory. And then in his frustration, he asked the old lumberjack, said, please tell me your secret. The older, wiser man replied, son, you don't understand this. Every time that I sat down to take a break, I was sharpening my axe. Yeah. Well, a sharp axe makes for a lot less work, so the trees fall much faster. That's what fasting does. It puts a new edge on our lives, and it brings a fresh anointing into our lives. I wished I could walk in it all the time. The Bible says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where is it in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That means be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled, because we got a leak. Hallelujah. And you just got to be filled again and again and again. We're in a world and there are things that put a drain on us. One day you feel like you could run through the troop and leap over the wall. And then at other times you say, what in the world happened to my energy? Amen. But I can tell you this, in the spirit world, if you will give yourself to seasons of prayer and fasting, it will do something in your life that will help you to win the victories that you need in life. Amen. Some people are still scratching their head. They're trying to figure, how did that boy get out of all of that? I'll tell you how I got out. By seeking God. God did it. I found out that God was a great God, that God loved me, that God was for me, and I just started seeking Him, hallelujah, and God began to show me principles, laws that you apply in the world of prayer. Most people have never heard about the spiritual laws, but there are laws that regulate everything in the spirit world, just like there are natural laws that regulate everything in the natural world. Amen. The problem for so many Christians and so many churches today is their axe is dull. Amen. Week after week, they stand in their church singing songs, lifting up hands, but there's no edge in their worship. Some preachers, they've lost their edge, and their preaching has become dull and routine. Some preachers, they've got some great material, but they don't pray and they don't fast. And they're like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The stuff is good, but all it'll ever do is touch your head. If you're going to touch somebody's heart, you better have spent some time alone with God, because it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will anoint you. And you don't have to be in a pulpit to have it either, praise God. You can wield the sword of the Spirit and see great things done in your life if you will pray and fast. Amen. God just calls some people to preach because he gave them a gift, I guess. I don't know why he called me. I hadn't figured it out yet. I think he saw that there's something in me, though, that just will not quit.
Amen.
Don't ever let a quitting spirit get on you.
That's right.
You can win. You're more than a conqueror. God will always cause you to triumph. God said he would. He said, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But don't ever put your faith in you. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in God's word. Put your faith in him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Put your faith in him. Hallelujah. Put your trust in him. You can trust him. Hallelujah. Whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die in the Lord. It took me a long time to get to that place. But if you ever get there, guess what? Then you can stand and you can back the devil down. He's a short-term skirmisher. I need to tell you that. He doesn't come for the long haul. He can't take it on the long haul. And he can't take it if you plead the blood and use the sword of the Lord against him either. Hallelujah. Tell him you don't have any blood, devil. I like to tell him, hey, devil, you're a spirit. You don't have any blood. Jesus poured out his precious blood. And the blood, the life is in the blood. And I got life, hallelujah. And I've got victory in my soul because the blood has declared my victory. The blood declares your victory. Don't try to do it in your human strength. Do it in the strength of God. See, I don't want my preaching to be dull and my preaching to be lifeless. More than anything in life, I want to know him. When I read that, Paul said, oh, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. I said, that's the key right there to great victory. Seek him. Seek him. And praise God, everything you will ever need, if you live a holy life, it'll be added unto you. See, once you've experienced the miracle working power of God, nothing else can satisfy you. There will be something in you that drives you with a passion to know him better. And you have to learn this. When you set aside time for prayer and fasting, you will see greater results. Just a few days out of the entire year to pray and fast. That's not a long time when you consider the results that it produces in your life. Fasting gives you your edge back again. I want to look at this verse once again, Mark 4:20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. I believe that when you apply this principle to the disciplines of giving and praying and fasting, you create an atmosphere to release the complete power of God in your life. Now, I want to go another step, and I want to apply this same principle to another scripture. I want you to see that the Word of God bears this 30, 60, 100-fold return out. Look at Matthew 7:7. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Look up there at that word, ask, A, seek, S, K, knock, A-S-K, ask. If you put the three of them together, you've got to ask again. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Jesus said, ask, it shall be given unto you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. See, following the principle of the 30, 60, and 100-fold return, asking, it brings a 30-fold return. Asking and seeking, it brings a 60-fold return. Asking, seeking, and knocking brings a 100-fold return. Can you imagine the blessings that are being put together when you put all of these principles together and you ask and you seek and you knock? And you give and you fast and you pray. can you just imagine the supernatural blessings that are being released into your life? This is revelational. You need to get the revelation, hallelujah, because God wants you to have more of Him than you've ever had. God wants you to have more joy. He wants you to have more peace. He wants you to walk in a greater anointing. And these things, they're treasures. And you don't find gold just lying on top of the earth. You have to go into the heart of the earth. The oil is deep in the earth. And you have to drill and you have to go down and you have to seek for it. Amen. And that's the way it is in God's word. You have to spend time along with God. You need good preaching. You need good teaching. You need revelation that God has shared with someone else. I love to sit in Brother Phillips' Sunday school class because I study all the time. But he studies, and he's got all kind of resources and other people, and they're right at his fingertips, and he gives me stuff, treasures. They mean a lot to me. That's how I knew when I was riding down the road. I said, I believe that hundredfold return means more than 100%. So I called a man up that might know, and he looked it up, and he found it. Hallelujah. Infinitely more than you could ever imagine or think. Hallelujah. That sounds like good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'll never forget. I heard preachers preach this and about Naaman, the Syrian general, and Gehazi, his servant. And Gehazi, he took the wedge, the clothing, and he came back and he thought he'd hidden it from the prophet. The prophet said, no, my spirit went with you. I know all about it. If you get close enough to God, you'll know things about people they don't even know you know. I'll never forget this one lady coming in the prayer line years ago, and she told my wife, she said, I don't want to get in that man's prayer line. She said, I believe he looked right through me and know everything that's going on. That's what she told my wife. But anyway, I heard preachers preach this, and they're great preachers. They said when the Syrians were outside and the three lepers were there, that they believed that one of them was Naaman, was the Gehazi. And they based that on the fact that later in that chapter of Chronicles, Gehazi was talking to the king, and the king went in and was talking to him, and he says, I want you to tell me about your master, Elisha, and the miracles he did. And he's explaining it to him, and all of a sudden, the Shunammite woman, he tells him about him raising that dead there. The Shunammite woman, she walks in, and he says, that's her right there, and that's her son. And the king said, give her, restore everything unto her. Amen. And that's what Jesus does for us. He restores it all. But I asked Brother Philip, and he and I studied, and we were looking at the chronological order of those scriptures. And we studied, and I think I got about that much notes there that we printed out, trying to find out the story, the real truth. And one day, see, some people, they don't care that much about the Bible. They're not that concerned. But one day I was reading my Bible, and it's in Luke's Gospel. And Jesus said, during the days of Naaman the leper, only one leper was healed. Just one. And guess who he was? It was Naaman, the Syrian general. So Gehazi, he died a leper. He didn't get healed. But I've heard preachers preach masterpieces on that. But if you'll seek God and the Holy Ghost, he'll give you little nuggets. He'll give you little things. And he'll show you. And I don't know how all those Bible commentators missed that. I mean, it's right there in Luke's Gospel. But they missed it. And I read the Bible through many, many times. And many of you have. And I didn't have the answer until the Holy Ghost says, there it is. Hallelujah. That's the thrill of reading your Bible through and seeking God and fasting and praying. Too many people, they've lost the edge in their home. Too many people, they've lost the edge in their marriage. And too many people, they've lost their commitment to the Lord. My question tonight is, have you lost your edge? I have to ask myself that all the time. See, this can become like a business. I see preachers all the time, and I chuckle at them. They're trying to get somewhere, get a position or something. And I just laugh inside because I've already realized this. If God wants me somewhere, guess what? God will get me there. If you'll obey God, if God wants you somewhere, God will get you there. You don't have to push. I didn't have to do it in the business world. I just stood back. I told my wife one day, I said, that position is mine. I was shocked when they gave it to somebody else. I said, I know God said it was mine. And I did what God told me, and they put somebody else in. I said, I still know it's mine. And guess what? One day they came and said, we want you to take that position. But God had already talked to me. He said, promotion coming neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one. He sets up another. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you will take that text that I use, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the stuff you will ever need, it will be added unto you. Do you remember what it was like during the first few weeks after the Lord lifted the heavy burden of sin off of your life and made you new and clean? Do you remember what it was like when you had such a tremendous passion and how that passion was transferred to others in your family? See, the people around you, they notice you. They notice. They take note of whether or not you have that joy and that edge. And if you've lost your edge, then the lack of passion, guess what? It's transferable. Just like when you would go into your family, when you would go around sinners, that passion that you had for Jesus was transferable. And a lack of passion, guess what? It's transferable too. And that's why we need one another. Iron sharpens iron. And godly mentors who know how to reach out and touch God, you and I, we need those in our lives. We need help. Amen. I do. When you fast, you're not just fasting for your victories. You're fasting for future generations that will follow. Because your victories will help determine their victories. Have you lost your edge? If so, where did you lose it? Was it due to the battles of life? Did you lose your edge because of the disappointments that you have suffered along the way? Then let your disappointments drive you to your knees. Let your disappointments drive you to seasons of prayer and fasting and seeking God. See, the altar is not just a place to get saved. This is good right here. The altar is a place to alter your directions and get back on the right path with God. The altar's not just a place, A-L-T-A-R, to come and get saved. Yes. It's a place to A-L-T-E-R, your direction.
Amen.
I challenge you during this period, seek God. Get your edge back. You'll be glad you did. And guess what? You'll be able to touch the world around you. And you'll be able to win the victories of life. But guess what? Those victories, they aren't just for you. Those victories are for everyone. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence.
Daily bread.
Hallelujah.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Your very word.
Your every word spoken.
love you, Lord. If you are planning on beginning the fast on Wednesday, start now by getting off the coffee. Start now by getting off the soft drinks or anything that has caffeine in it. And then you won't have the headaches. Your body will be acclimated and you'll be able to do your fast. And I've got a scripture I used. David, put Jeremiah 15:16 up. This was my fasting scripture. I read it once long ago, and it may speak to you the way it spoke to me. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found. That's why I say pray and fast. And I did eat them. Read your Bible. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And I love this last part. He said, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah said, you call me. Put John 15:16 up there, David. I want you to see this. Because I want you to know you're chosen. Amen. And you're chosen, hand-selected by God to do some great things in life. You have not chosen me, Jesus said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. I love the last part. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now put Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Put that with your fasting. And then put the fact that God chose you. And the fact that if you will seek him, ask, seek, and knock, whatsoever you ask, he'll do it. And the fact that you're chosen, whatever you ask the Father in his name, Jesus said, the Father will do it. I want to go out here with that song, He's All I Need, Brother Rick and Deepa. He's all that I need. He is all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. He's the ripple of the stream. He's the God of everything. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Dead, but now he's alive. He holds the key to down our pride. He's my rock, he's my stand. He's my God, he'll make a way. Sing in church. He's all that I need. Woo! He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. Glory, glory. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. He's the high priest of my soul. He is my highest goal. In the darkest night I see, he picks me up when I'm way down. He's my God, he holds my crown. And some sweet day he's coming after you and me. Hallelujah. He's all that I need. Jesus, he's all I ever need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. I love this third verse. He's the one I long to see. For he's done so much for me. Joy down in my soul. Now heaven is my goal. And some sweet day is coming after you and me. Sing it, church. He's all that I need. Woo! All that I need. Jesus is all I ever need. He's all. Crown, and some sweet day coming after you.